That I might not sin against thee.
That I might not shame, that I might not sin, thy word have I given my heart.
Stand once you find your place. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, this is a continuation of Solomon. I think there are, I'm not mistaken, there are three writers, these three writers, Agar and Lemuel. Lemuel and Solomon are all writers of the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, in the first seven chapters, is speaking to his son. He references that many times to my son. Of course, that speaks to us as well as we look at this. And this morning, we're just going to read beginning verse 1 down to verse 10. And from there, we'll go ahead and share this morning some things about what the Lord has laid on my heart today. If you have Bibles, Proverbs chapter 2, I'll read and you just follow along. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray as we continue to look at this, as we've already read Proverbs chapter 1. Again, seeing Solomon writing, of course, he was the wisest man that ever lived. And Father, I just pray today that you would take heed to these words and help me and show me some things through this passage, some things that remind me of things I need. Father, I just pray that you guide and direct. Help us each one to see your face. And Father, that we would be obedient to whatever you teach us this year. Thank you for in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated. So here we see that this message, and the message is entitled, it comes from verse 5, if you will, you can look over there, chapter 1, says, a wise man will hear. That's the title of this message this morning. A wise man will hear. And again, who do we want to hear? We want to hear from God. God himself. And he wants to speak to us and use us. So as we look at this morning, I want to share with you, number one, there are three types of sinners that this is speaking of. go over to chapter 1 and look at verse 20 for a second. Verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, the city uttereth, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorner delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Right here are the three people that it's talking about. Three types of sinners. And I believe this is a progression of sin. This is a beginning of things. And we're going to look at this morning. We're going to think about this for a second. But he talks about the simple ones. Who are the simple ones? What is a simple one? Well, this person is someone who is naive. This is a person who can be led either way. He's somebody who needs discretion. In fact, he tells us that in verse 4. It says, to give subtlety, that is discretion, to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. But that word subtlety means discretion as well, and or trickery, depending on the use of it. But here it means discretion. So this simple one is someone who you have an opportunity. They're void of understanding, according to the Bible. Proverbs 7 says, behold, among the simple ones, I discern among the youth a man void of understanding. That's what the Bible tells us. They are easily led, in Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looked well to his going. I can recall a time when I was this simple thing. Maybe I still am. I'm working on it. But I was definitely a simpleton when I joined the Navy. I was naive about everything. I was misguided many times because of that. And it's easy to happen for the simple one, because he'll believe anything. And that's the way I approach people. I used to believe anything they said. There's no wisdom in me. There's no understanding. It's just what they said must be true. But I'm just going to believe what they say. You need to be careful with that. Also, folly is their plight in Proverbs 14:18, and again, I can understand this. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. They cannot perceive evil. This is a simple person, or a simple one. A prudent man perceiveth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And Psalm 119 tells us how the simple can be reached. In verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Word of God is what we want to get to the simple person. Why? Because they're willing to follow. And you've met people like that. You've met people that you can actually talk to and you can share, and they'll come along with you and they'll listen to you, and you have those opportunities. Now, you probably have had a lot more people that are in the other two classes, the scorner and the foolish. We're going to share to you what those people are like. The scorners are those that mock righteousness and things of God. I believe the scorner is the third position. I'm not 100% settled on this, but I think the simple ones, the foolish, and then the scorners. It's a progression. The scorner will not listen to the wise, or will not listen to wise instruction. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He won't listen. He won't listen to the word of God. He won't take it. He's just going to, no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. A scorner doesn't understand the knowledge of God. Proverbs 14:6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. The scorner doesn't care about that. He doesn't want any part of it. There are many people today in America that are in this position of being scorners. They mock the word of God and the things of God. A scorner is proud. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty. Scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So the Bible tells us, if you have someone like this, you're around someone like this, this is the guy you want to get rid of, because if you do, you'll have peace. It said in Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Scorner is morally disgusting, it says in Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to man. And that's what that abomination means, morally disgusting. If the scorner is dealt with properly, it's going to help the simple. And again, that's where we know that when you think about Matthew chapter 18, that comes in play. When we do and follow church discipline like we should, that is going to make a difference in people's lives, and it will help lead those, especially the simple, in the right way. But here in Proverbs 19:25, it says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So there you have the scorner. And you have that one called the simple one. But also, it points out a third one, and this is the fool who rejects wise instruction. The fool is looking for fun in the way of mischief, Proverbs 10:23 says. It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. In his own eyes, he's wise, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You remember in Matthew, Jesus told us, as he was sharing, I think it's in Matthew chapter 13, he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Well, this would be one of those. Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. He doesn't care. You don't want to hear it. You're wasting your time, or could be. And these also need correction. Proverbs 26:3 says, whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. That's what the Bible says. And of course, if they continue down this path, they will not hear. In verse 26 through 32, we read this morning, Jesus, God, is sharing through Solomon, he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And when your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Who is he talking about? Because he tells us and teaches us that we are to seek him early. And if we seek him early, we will find him. He's talking about the simple, the foolish, and the swine. Especially the swarner and the foolish. But in chapter 2, we come to chapter 2, and this is a syllogism. I didn't even say that. What it is, it begins with a premise, by the way, of an if statement, and we're going to see that in just a minute, and then it's going to tell us or reveal the truth by the then statement. And as we go down through here, we're going to be seeing how Solomon is writing these words. He's saying, if, and then he's going to give us what God's going to do, then. And of course, you think, well, this is a condition. Yes, it is a condition. If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell. Same thing, right? If then. If 3 plus 4 is 7, then 7 minus 3 is 4. Simple math. I might have problems with that. Those are if then statements. If is a small world, but it carries a heavy weight. You know, if I had $1 million, I'd be rich. Hey, if I won the lottery, I'd give it all to the church. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? I know he said it, but I've heard it too yet. Not only heard it, but I said it. Sure. If. I used to sit in a pew and say, Lord, if I'm not saved. If is an empty statement, if you don't follow through with the condition. He starts off and says, my son. And again, Solomon's talking to his son, I believe, writing these words. Of course, it is to all of us. It is God's word this morning. And when he starts this, if thou wilt, he begins a sequence here. There's different ways. This is Hebrew poetry. Job, Proverbs, Psalms. Many places there are Hebrew poetry. Moses' prayer in Exodus. David's prayer in 2 Samuel. A lot of places there is Hebrew poetry. And that's what this is. And he starts off and he says, if thou wilt receive my word, if you'll hear me, if you'll listen to me. And then it's a synonymous, if you will. He says, and hide my commandments with me. He's saying the same thing, just a different way. You'll receive his words and hide his commandments. Put those together. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. So that word receive means to accept, to fetch, to seize, or take away. Take God's word for what they are. That's one of my biggest problems, is taking God's word for what it says. Why? Because just like we looked in 1 Corinthians, I'm wise in my own eyes. Hey, I can figure this out. God really meant this. Because why? That's what I want to do. I got justified, right? So this is what God made me. when he really means something else. So we want to take God's word for what it is. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs today, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. In Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas on their second missionary journey went to a synagogue in Berea. In verse 11 through 12 says, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not of Greeks. Receive the word of God. Look into the word of God. Many today are not going to receive it. They're not going to care about it. They're not going to care about the things of God. And Jesus was speaking in John chapter 12. He said, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There are people who will not believe, will not receive. There's no hope for those people. There's no help for those people. They cannot understand the things of God. It is foreign to them. They're the natural man. We know the Bible teaches us about the natural man, that the word of God is foolishness unto them, and they cannot discern it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Then he says, in the same passage, he said, receive, and he said, hide my commandments. Hide my commandments. That word hide is to lay up, to hoard, to protect, to keep, to cherish. We need to receive the word of God and treat it as a treasure. You know, this is the best thing we have in this life. This is it right here. Once you put your faith and trust in Christ, is to find out what God wants you to do. It is the best place for your life. It's the best place you can ever be. You can never find a better place than in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, than walking in His footsteps, than looking to Him and following Him. It is the best place, because any other place you're without Him. He's not with you. He's not with Him. And that's why we want to find it. We want to lay it up. We want to receive it and hide it. And when we do, then it will lead to the inclining and the applying. Inclining, He says, incline thy ear into wisdom. That means to hearken or attend to. In other words, we'll search for wisdom and understanding. That's what we need. These two are not synonymous in their meanings. They're not exactly the same. Wisdom and understanding are different. There's a progression we're going to see in just a moment, because He's going to introduce something else into this equation for us. And this is what we as Christians want to search for and to find. Why? So we have the wisdom, because the wisdom has a purpose. Wisdom is developed from understanding. When we understand, then we can apply wisdom. We understand the word of God, then we can be wise, as God would have us to be wise in the word. Proverbs 9:10 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 19:8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Wisdom. Once we understand, we can apply wisdom in our lives. Look on, he says. He says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now we're to cry after knowledge. We're to go to God and say, God, help us, show us, teach us. When you get up and sometime during the day, do you go to God and say, Lord, open your words, or open my eyes that I may see you. Open your words that when you speak to me and help me to know what I'm to do in this day and the future. What is your plan for me? What do you have for me? I think many Christians go about the day never opening the word of God. And then maybe they don't understand why they don't have wisdom. It's because you've got to be in the word of God. That's where wisdom comes from. So he tells us to cry after knowledge. So what we're going to do here is we're going to add to wisdom and add to understanding. We're going to add knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. It is God that we're asking to reveal these things to us. These are building blocks in the Christian life. There are three parts to it. Number one is knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation. How do you know what God wants you to do without knowledge of the Word of God? Can you know what to do? You might think, well, I go to church 3 or 4 times a week. That's enough. Is that really enough? I don't think so. We got to go and find out that knowledge. He has it right here. This is knowledge. Knowledge, if we're not careful, is what puffs us up and gives us pride. So we want to take the knowledge that we have in the Word of God, and we want to use that knowledge. And use that knowledge is we want to find out the understanding of it. That's the second law. Here's the knowledge. Now, what does it mean? How does it apply to my life? What is it telling me? What is it instructing me to do? I have this knowledge. I know what it says. Now, what does God want me to do with that knowledge? Because that's what God wants us to do as Christians, is to find out knowledge and to understand that knowledge. Why? Why do we need to understand the knowledge? Because without understanding the knowledge, we will not have the wisdom to apply the knowledge that God has given to us through the Word of God. It's the wisdom where you see the application. Making those decisions every day, you need wisdom to make those decisions. But if you don't have the knowledge and understanding, how can you make wise decisions? Not easy, is it? I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. A lot. Probably going to make some more, too. You think about salvation. Without the knowledge that you're a sinner, without the knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, without the knowledge that all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can't go anywhere, right? That's the first thing. You got to have knowledge. And so that's why we preach the Word of God. That's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we tell others about Jesus Christ, to give them the knowledge. They got to have that first. And then with knowledge, as a Christian, as we're trying to disciple others, we want to give them the understanding. Okay, so what? Jesus died. He died for my sins. What does that mean? We need understanding. We need to understand what it means. And we understand clearly, and until you understand you're a sinner, until you understand what it means that God is holy and you're not, and that there's nothing you can do to earn salvation, until you understand those things, you can't apply wisdom. Until you understand that Jesus came to this earth and was sinless, dying on a cross, you can't apply that. You might have the knowledge, and a lot of people have head knowledge about Jesus, but they don't have the heart knowledge, because they didn't understand it and apply it. The wisdom. So once you have the knowledge and you have the understanding, then the wisdom says, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Why? Because you can apply that knowledge. That's how everybody got saved. By these three steps. If you didn't have these three steps, you missed something. Because if you don't understand, you can't be saved. If you don't have knowledge, you can't be saved. You need all three. So as we see in our passage, this is what Solomon is trying to teach his son. That we need to have this knowledge, we need to have the understanding, and we need to have the wisdom to apply that knowledge. Proverbs 8:11 says, For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And if you think about that, how often do I change in getting the wisdom or seeking the knowledge or seeking the understanding of God for some other thing in my life? You know, everybody here's got 24/7. You know, that's it. No more hours, no more time. You don't get any extra. You work overtime, it's coming out of that time. Whatever you do comes out of that time. And I'm guilty of not seeking God as though it's the most treacherous thing in the world. Because my attention is diverted on too many other things. And why I don't have wisdom like a Paul is because I haven't been in the Word of God like a Paul. I haven't studied, and of course we have Jesus Christ, but nonetheless there are other men I think of over the years that have that wisdom. I can think of many pastors in this state that I love to sit under and hear their preaching, because they're men that were saved at an early age, and they applied the knowledge that they learned and the understanding, and they lived it, the wisdom. I just don't know why. But I still have the opportunity, if I seek it, just like the Bible tells us, if I cry out for it, if verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, when you, years ago, you can go back and study this and see what the word, I guess what, 1849, is that 49? Everybody went out west to do what? Seek the gold. They left their wives, they left their families, they left everything to go get some gold. Boy, they were after that. Their heart was wrapped up in what they could get out of the ground. That's the most important thing to them. Get rich quick! Hey, be set for life. Maybe the store, whatever you're going to get with that money, and be all set. That's what we're to do with the Word of God. We're to get out our shovels. We're to get out our picks. Start digging, hacking away, and finding out. What is the treasure the Word of God has given us? I don't know if you've been blessed. I have this past week, or last, actually just since January when I started reading through the Bible again, and coming back through and reading about the tabernacle, all that God told me to do, and all the detail that he put into that. And I had to stop and I had to dig a little bit sometimes. I had to get the shovel out, find out what he was talking. You know, just read through and kind of miss some of that. It's easy to read it. If you don't study it, you don't really get the whole understanding of what he's talking about, how the tabernacle was made, how it was set up, and all of that. And but there's a lot there. And of course, all that represents and points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it does. It points us to the Lord. We're made for this. And if we do that, if we apply that condition, if we receive, if we will hide, if we will incline, and if we'll apply, if we'll cry, if we'll lift this up our voice, if we'll seek and search, verse 5 says, then, he says. And as you think about that, then what? What does this mean? What's going to happen? Then is the result of the if. If I do this, then this is going to happen. And God's word is always true. He's not going to mislead us or misguide us. God didn't put us on this earth and then send Jesus die for our sins and us to put our faith in him and then just hang out. That's not what he did. That's not the purpose. He put us here to know him. To know him in the beginning of life. To know him better than you know yourself. In fact, you will know yourself better if you know him. I can't believe how much I've learned myself through the Lord. And how faulty and bad I am. But all of this leads to understand the fear of the Lord. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Without getting into this, without receiving, without hiding and finding and crying and lifting up, without doing those things, we're going to miss out on the knowledge of God. That's what we want to know, isn't it? The knowledge of God. Why, God? Have you ever asked this question? God, why am I here? You ever asked me that? You think in those terms, you think, well, God, when you get up in the morning, say, God, what do you want me to do today? What's my purpose today, Lord? What's the goal here? Why'd you put me in this place, Lord? Some of you may be in a place you shouldn't be. More than put you there, you put yourself there. I know I've done that. In those situations, you need to say, Lord, am I in the right place? Go ahead and confirm that to you. How does the Lord confirm things to you? Thank you. That was a rhetorical question for me. By the Bible. That's how he confirms to you. You look at the principles, you look at the guidelines of the Bible, and what the Bible tells us, you look at that knowledge, you get the understanding, and then you'll find the wisdom to it. And then you know you're following the Lord because you follow him, and not your own desires, not your own thinking. So if you seek him, he'll give you the fear of the Lord. That word fear is a reverence. That word fear comes, I think, in the beginning it's sort of out of a duty, no doubt. But I think duty builds into love. You know, when your children are born and you start training them, sometimes they don't necessarily like what you're asking them to do. You gotta wash them. I don't like washing them. Wash them. And they may begin to do that because of God. The fear of mom and dad. But you know, when they get older, it's amazing to me if a child is trained in proper way, God's mind. That fear becomes respect. That fear becomes love. Son, could you help? Yes, Dad, I love to wash the dishes. That's the way it works with God as well. And so we, when we seek Him, we understand that fear, we start growing in that fear. When we come to that knowledge, we respect and trust and obey and love Him. But what's He going to do for us? Verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Those three things that we need, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, He's going to give it to us. It's there for the taking. It's like the nuggets on the ground. Forget the shovel and picks. It's right there. You just got it. It's amazing to me how God does that for us. It's that wisdom that we need to know how to live this life. James tells us in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Where's that? Right here. It's here. This book is so heavy. Not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual sense. You can't carry it so heavy in the spiritual sense. Because there's so much there. It takes a lifetime. One nugget at a time. And then you keep putting those nuggets and you keep piling those nuggets. And then you're going to mount up the treasure. And you're going to bring in the harvest, if you will. That's a different analogy. But that's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us the wisdom to live the life that He's called us to live. I wonder how many times I've walked around with blinders on and walked in darkness because I did it my way. I sought it my direction. I didn't look at the Lord and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? I said, wow, this is the way I can figure this out. I can add 4 plus 3 equals 7. Thank you, Brandon. She's right on target. And I can figure this out. So I can do it myself. I don't need God. And God says, you're using the wrong math. You're doing it the wrong way. I got something better for you. And it's not going to add up the way you think it ought to add up. Because when you start doing the math, it don't add up. Think about sending your kids to college. Some of you sent your kids to college. And you can sit up there and say, I didn't have anything. The Lord brought it in different ways and different means, but He took care of it. That should grow your faith. Why? Because you were applying some wisdom, some knowledge that you could trust the Lord. You understood that He would take care of this. You didn't count up the cost. And now the Bible teaches us there's wisdom in that, but you didn't count up the cost and say, you can't do this because God was directing maybe that child to go to that Bible college or whatever. And if that's the case, God will provide. I've seen it more than once. I'm about finished. Amen. God has provided. He takes care of me. Because I'm trusting Him to take care of me. I don't have the means to do it. Never did. When I moved up here, I didn't have the means to have 2 kids in college. It was impossible. If you did the math, you say, you can't do that. It's not going to work. And God said, throw the book. You were using the way, your reasoning, and trust me. Trust me. And He'd already done that in my life several times, so it wasn't hard to do it this time. And yet, I still fail. God wants us to have that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding. Excuse me, that knowledge, understanding, wisdom. In verse 7, He says, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. When He says He layeth up, He's talking about to hoard or protect. It's that same word we looked up before. When He said, when God gives us wisdom, He wants us to hang on to that wisdom for all our life and build up. Because He's going to give us the rules. Every area of our lives, we can make choices that are wise or not. And the choices that agree with what God is teaching us are wise choices. The choices we step out and make our own, often or not. Now that doesn't mean God discards us or throws us away as a bad boy and all this stuff. No, He'll teach us through that if we are seeking and searching for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It's a continual thing. It's the rest of our lives. You guys are digging for treasure for the rest of your lives. Amen? And you're going to get it. And it comes sometimes by more than one nugget. Sometimes it's five or six. God's going to do that for us. Remember Solomon? He's got to pin these words for us. Amen? God went to him and 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, now he had done this to me. Maybe not to you either. God said, ask what I shall give you. Whoa. That's more than your lottery will get you, Jim. Ever. Ask what you will, and I will give it thee. Now what am I going to ask for? What do I like? What do I want? The first thing on the list is good health. No value of good health. Okay? That's first on the list. I'm going to say, I want some good health. And right behind that is, hey, how about a lot of money in any form you want to give to me? That's fine. That way I can have everything I want. I want to have enough money that I can give all my kids $10 million each. So let me set for life. That would be great, wouldn't it? And so they said, yeah, I pray for that. I got to say that. Hope not, because it wouldn't be any good for you. No, Solomon asked for wisdom. Being able to guide the people that he had to deal with. Wisdom, to be able to judge righteous judgment. And it's amazing when he asked that, he didn't ask for treasures or long life or any of those things, but God came back to him and First Kings, and because he didn't ask for those things, he promised him that he would give him wisdom. He's the wise man that ever lived. He also, on top of it, he says, because you didn't ask, I'll give you riches and honor too. I'm going to give you riches and honor. And he also said, and I'm going to give you long life. Now that's a gift statement, because he didn't keep the commandments. But that's what he gave to him. Because he asked, you know, right motive, and he asked him for wisdom. He wasn't self-seeking, he wasn't trying to heap it on himself, he wanted to be able to help other people. Solomon did that. The Bible tells us, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who put their faith and trust in Christ. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Those that are righteous, with their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he is a buckler to those who will follow him. Just like he told Solomon, I promise you long life if you keep my commandments. That's what God does for us as well. David, he reminds us in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, says, ask of God his ways. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all who will trust him. He's going to take care of us. He knows what the path of judgment is. That road is not going to change. It's straight. It's narrow. It never changes. A lot of people say it is what it is. Verse 8, that's what God is saying. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He has a plan for us. And it's not as hard to find as we think. I think sometimes we think it's really hard to find out what God wants. I don't know how many days I've walked on this earth without the counsel of God, without the knowledge of God, without the understanding of God, without the wisdom of God. When all the time I've had it. When I was 8 years old, my grandmother gave me a Bible on my 8th birthday. We just moved from Newfoundland. It was 1964. We went to North Carolina, going to Austin, Texas. And she took me to church. I praise the Lord for my grandmother. Godly lady that took me to church whenever I was in town. It wasn't very often. She took me to church and she planted a seed that I at least desired to have a Bible. What do you want for your birthday, Luke? I want a Bible. I want one like you got. And she got me a Bible. And I was so excited. So here I had all that I needed right there. All those years when I was in service, I carried that Bible with me on the ship. I never read it, but I had it. And it was there. All those years I had the opportunity to find out the knowledge of God. Be able to understand God. And be able to apply that knowledge and wisdom. And we have it today. We have that opportunity. So then he goes and he says, then again, verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And that's what we want, isn't it? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. The path is here. So if we're straying from the path, it's because we're not here. We missed the step or the lamp and the light. Somehow we distinguished it because he wants it to be bright enough for us to see. Even though it's by faith, he still will give us enough help to take the step. He'll encourage us to do that. That judgment is a practical application of righteousness. It's a product of living according to righteousness. It's making the right decisions that are not our decisions, but God's decisions. You know, you can learn from making wrong decisions, too. There's nothing wrong with that. If you know you made a wrong decision, you can go to God and ask him for the right way, and you can change your direction. It's not set in stone. You have to keep making bad decisions and wrong decisions, okay? Just because you did it once doesn't mean you have to keep on doing it. Equity means dealing fairly. And every good path is understanding the issues of life, understanding what God has for us. Verse 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Then it says, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I want knowledge, I want understanding, and I want wisdom. Because that's why God left me. Just to know him the way that I could live the Why would you want to live according to his wisdom? Because that is going to be the light in the darkness. And really the humble self. We need God. We believe see. And it will be the peace in our lives. It works. As God said. Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning. I thank you for reminding me that I need to commit the knowledge that you've given to me through your God. I need to seek it. I need to search it. And then through that knowledge, Father, that you give me understanding of that knowledge so I can apply it in every area of my life, knowing that you haven't left anything hidden or covered, or things that I need to wonder about because it's here. And I just have to dig it out. Help me more today.